We want to pray for a few people. Am I on? If you look at your bulletin, Alan Erickson, he is in Tanzania, as most of you know. You can be seated. And I understand he's having a wonderful time, but he goes out into areas where the gospel has never been. So we just want to lift him up in prayer. He also had a little bout with food poisoning, but we prayed, and he's doing fine. But he goes out into areas where he has no phone service, and he'll have a great testimony when he comes back. This is not his first trip there. So, Lord, we lift up Alan to you. We bring him before your throne, and we thank you that right now, Father, that he is experiencing a manifest presence as he ministers to people there. Father, his desire was to be able to minister Holy Spirit. So we pray, Lord, that the people are open to receive what the Word of God says, and that many will get saved, filled with the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we pray for protection over him and the team, the missionaries there and the team. We pray, Lord, for your protection, your angels around about them as they travel to these places in the mountains. Yes, to the unreached places. So we thank you for a great testimony and a great move of your Spirit in Jesus' name. I also want to pray for Bill Wallach again. We have been praying for him. And I understand some of you went to see him. Yes. And talking to Heather this morning, that was such a great encouragement for him. So thank you, those of you that went to see him. My understanding was that he didn't have much hope, but now he has hope again.
Yes.
And he wants to come home. So thank you. Father, we pray for Bill Wallach. We pray for Sally as well. We pray, Lord, for healing continuing to work in his life and their lives in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the hope that he has in you. And we believe, Father, with him, that you're not finished with him yet,
yes,
that you still have a work for him. And so, Lord, we thank you for the healing power of God, anointing of God flowing in his life right now, bringing restoration and wholeness into his body, his mind, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, we also thank you for all our government officials in our nation, also in our state, in our county. We pray for those that stand for righteousness. We pray, Lord, that they would remain strong. They would not be swayed by the enemy's lies in the name of Jesus. We pray for those that do not know you. We pray, Lord, that you send laborers into their path in the name of Jesus, that they would open up their hearts to you. And Lord, if they don't want to follow your principles, then we pray, Lord, you would, like one person said, take them for a walk so that people would rise up who stand for righteousness in the name of Jesus. We also pray for Dale Armstrong as he is in Ukraine. We pray, Lord, for protection around him and his team in the name of Jesus. We believe you're using him, Father, to bring peace and to minister to those pastors there.
Yes.
We thank you for your protection. We pray for Ukraine. We pray for the peace for that nation in the name of Jesus. We come against the spirits of strife and war. We command them to stop in the name of Jesus so that there is peace in that land and that your gospel can go forth. Father, we also pray for revival here in this county, right where we are. We believe many good things are happening. But Lord, we thank you for an outpouring of your Spirit, and many people in this area will come to know you in the name of Jesus. We pray for other churches that are meeting this morning. We pray for a move of your Spirit in those congregations all throughout this county in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for that. Amen. Amen. As you know, I was not here last week, and Shane did a wonderful job.
Yes.
I listened to the message, and he kind of continued in the topic or in the continued in what we've been talking about, which is basically Holy Spirit in our lives and how we can flow with the Holy Spirit. So thank you, Shane. I thought you had a wonderful message. And a good teacher. I can tell he's a teacher because a teacher brings in every detail. Right, Randy? Yeah, I'm a teacher too. But also he had wonderful illustrations. It was just a good message that ministered the Word of God. Also want to thank David Peters. Are you in here? Where's David? Oh, back. Oh, he's on security. Okay. But David spoke at the men's breakfast, and I had the opportunity to listen to that as well. And what a testimony.
Yes.
He gave a great testimony of the goodness of God and miracles in their lives and their family. So thank you, David, for sharing from your heart and blessing the men at the men's breakfast. Don't forget about the men's retreat. Shane might give us more details at the end. If you're not signed up, sign up for the men's retreat. It'll be myself and Dave Landis will be the speakers. Looking forward to a good time of relationship building. The theme of the retreat is men building a culture of caring. And I know God's going to do a wonderful work in our midst in drawing us together. I'm kind of an outsider coming in, but I'm becoming more and more of an insider. So I'm looking forward to that retreat. All right. Are you ready for the Word of God?
Yes.
We know that the Word of God is a foundation which can never be shaken.
Amen.
Yeah, thank you for an amen. Maybe I'll just wait until you say amen to see if you're with me. So, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for Holy Spirit, who is our teacher here this morning. The Holy Spirit takes the Word of God. We thank you for this. He takes the Word of God and causes it to come alive on the inside of us, bringing change in our lives. So turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. I think we've turned to this scripture, I don't know how many weeks in a row. This might be the last week. I'm not sure yet. We'll see how it goes. But there's other things I believe the Spirit of God wants to minister here. But we've been on a journey from this scripture, mainly about being filled with the Holy Spirit. I believe this is of utmost importance in our lives because it was life-changing for me when I found out that I am the temple of the Holy Spirit and that Holy Spirit's desire is to lead me and guide me in every aspect of my life, every detail of my life. And if I get in tune with Him, then the things I do will be a success for God. In other words, I will fulfill God's plan for my life. And I have found that it's much easier to do it that way than to try to do it on my own.
Absolutely.
Because we need Holy Spirit in our lives. So did you find Ephesians? I didn't find it yet. So hang on. See, it's Galatians then Ephesians, right? I always think it's Ephesians then Galatians, but I think we should switch it around. So Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, we're speaking from this scripture, and today we'll mainly speak from verse 18, which we also did 2 weeks ago when I was here. You know, one thing I appreciated, one thing that really stood out from Shane's message, he said in John 10:10, it says, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I am come that you may have life, and that you may have life more abundant." And that is really where the name came from for this church, for this congregation in 1979 when we started it. That was our theme, our foundational scripture, John 10:10. And he said, we are the Abundant Life Church, not the Just Getting Along Church. Isn't that what you said? Is that the words you love? Not just the Just Getting Along Church, but the Abundant Life Church. And we want to live in that abundant life. So verse 15, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We saw that this word circumspect means that you're alert, you're aware of what's happening around you. I think Shane mentioned last week that we need to be aware of the tactics of the enemy so that when they come, we recognize them as from the enemy rather than what some people say is from God. But we know from John 10:10, that is a foundational scripture for me, and I use John 10:10 to judge everything that happens to me, if it's from God or not. It says there, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and anything that steals, kills, and destroys, it can't be from God. Because he said that I came to give you life and life more abundant. Oh, I wanted to introduce some special people here this morning. My brother Sam and his wife, Sherlyn. Maybe some of you recognize him. He was pastor at the worship center for 40 years from the very start of it. And then now he travels around and has a bunch of ministers and churches in the organizations that he oversees, RMAI and Worship Center Ministers Network. So after the service, we're leaving for Illinois and Ohio, and we're going to be there for a week in attending two conferences by Pastor Hagen from Rhema. So we look forward to that. And then we have a cousin of mine, Phi. She's my cousin married to Mike Lusby. Mike is also has pastored, has ministered, preaches, and so forth. Good friends of ours as well. So welcome. Nice to have you here this morning. Phi is the sister to Annie Ann. You know Annie Ann's pretzels? You ever heard of Annie Ann's pretzels? She's a sister and also a cousin of ours. All right. I just wanted to do that. I forgot to do it in the beginning. So walk circumspectly. In other words, be aware of what's happening around you because the days are evil. We live in an unredeemed world. Then he goes on and says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So if I understand what the will of the Lord is, if I turn this around, that means I'm wise when I understand the will of the Lord. And we know that the will of the Lord is spelled out to us in the Word of God. So we could say if we are following the Word of God, have the Word of God in our lives, then we are wise. Then we have the wisdom of God. Many times we ask for wisdom, and rightfully so. It's okay to ask for wisdom. But really, the wisdom of God comes from His Word. And so if we pray, say, Lord, give us wisdom, He might be saying, well, get into my word and I'll give you some wisdom. But He helps us to understand it. Holy Spirit helps us to understand it, put it into our lives, and we receive the wisdom of God. Then in verse 18, it says, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, which is, like Pastor Sam usually says, you want to do this? That's what he says a lot. He says, you want to do this when I get all mixed up with my words and everything. You're supposed to laugh there. And do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. When I am filled with the Spirit, then these other things will happen in my life. In other words, they are a result of Holy Spirit in me. It's not like I have to, I got to do these things. They become a thing that is on the inside of us and comes out as we are ministering to other people. It says, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father and in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in love in Jesus Christ or in the fear of God. These are all things that are a result of Holy Spirit being on the inside of me. And if I have Holy Spirit in me, then I will be thankful. And from that thankfulness, I'll be singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. My mom, she would go all throughout the day and all throughout the house, she would always be humming, like, humming a song or something. I find myself doing the same thing sometimes. I find myself doing it so much that I tell myself, just shut up for a little bit. But it's like that coming from within on the inside. Because it's bubbling up from the inside. We're full of Holy Spirit. We're full of things of God. Abundant life. And then I give thanks. So that tells me if you put it on the other side, if I grumble and complain, that's not giving thanks. That's the opposite. So maybe when I'm not giving thanks and I'm grumbling and complaining, then maybe I'm not full at that time. Come on now. I'm already preaching really good. And then it says submitting to one another. Submitting. Submission is we're supporting one another. But when I'm filled with the Spirit, I will have no problem submitting to others around me. And then it goes on, talks about husbands and wives, which maybe that's a message for some other time. So we have seen in this scripture being filled with the Spirit, this word be filled with the Spirit, I looked it up in the Greek, and it means to make full or to fill to the full or overflowing. That's what this word filled means. It also implies that it's a continual filling that takes place in our lives. So that tells me that I can get into a place where maybe I'm not, the Holy Spirit is still there. He never leaves. But maybe I'm not allowing him to express himself through me as I should because I am not full in the sense. You understand what I'm saying? Doesn't mean the Holy Spirit isn't there because he's always there. He never leaves you. He's always on the inside of us. But I need to continually fill myself with his presence, so to speak. It also means to make replete. Now, I'm not a school teacher or anything. This word replete, what does that mean? So I looked it up in the dictionary, and it means to be filled to capacity.
Nice.
Fully supplied and provided for. I love that. So when this word filled means we are filled to capacity and fully supplied and provided for. In other words, Holy Spirit in us has everything we need. Weren't we just singing about that? Or you were talking about it in the first session this morning. In Acts 2 verse 4, this is also the word that is used there when they were filled with Holy Spirit. There it also implied that it's an influence. It's a supply and an influence in our lives. Another definition that I liked was to cram. Filled means to cram. Like sometimes when we don't study in school, then test comes up and we have to cram. If I'm not careful sometimes, I have to cram for a sermon if I don't spend enough of time. But it means to cram, to be completely filled. Then we saw, just a little bit of review here, then we saw that there are really two works of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The first one is when we are born again, and according to John 4:4, it talks about a well of living water, everlasting water unto salvation, which is Holy Spirit at new birth. So when people are born again, you receive Holy Spirit into your life, and you become the temple of Holy Spirit. Some people that receive the baptism of Holy Spirit, they think that other people that are born again, they can't really be born again because they have never received the power of the Holy Spirit. But that's not what the Bible teaches. In fact, even when Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was resurrected, they were in this room and all of a sudden he appeared and he said to them, "Peace be unto you," or "Don't be afraid." And then later on it says that he breathed on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. So he breathed new life, the life of God, the resurrected life that he could give after he arose again, because he had paid for sin. And the reason I know that's talking about them being born again, because the next statement then talks about the forgiveness of sins. But even after that, he says to them, "Now you wait in Jerusalem until you are endowed, or until you receive the power of the Holy Spirit." So if you study those scriptures, there seems to be a difference between the well of everlasting life that's on the inside of you and the power that they received in the book of Acts. Jesus referred to the power that they received in the book of Acts in John chapter 7, where he calls it a river of living water flowing from the inside of us. Now, the well is refreshing. And like I told you before, we had a well on the farm, And when we were sweaty and hot and working all day, we came in and drank from that well. It was refreshing. It was the best water in the world to us at that time, but it was refreshing, that well. Now, that well eventually went bad, but Holy Spirit will never go bad. And then the river, a river of living water, there's a difference between a well and a river. The river has power. I mean, look at the floods that were in Texas and the power of that water. I mean, those floods were unfortunate. We prayed one Sunday morning for those people, and we continue to pray for them. But even just the normal river, the Susquehanna River, which we're familiar with, if you get in certain parts of the Susquehanna River, you might not survive. Am I right? I've never been out there on a boat, but some boaters have gone out and they haven't survived because there's power. The water is flowing. So that's what happens to us when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which we talked about a lot the last time that I was here, 2 weeks ago. And I took you through the book of Acts. I took you through the book of Acts and all the different times when they received the Holy Spirit. You remember? Two of those times, or most of the times, they spoke with tongues. The other times, the Bible doesn't actually say they spoke with tongues, but something happened. It doesn't say that Paul spoke with tongues when Ananias, in Acts chapter 8, when Ananias came and prayed for him, Ananias said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Paul received the Holy Spirit, but it doesn't say he spoke with tongues. But I wonder when he received tongues, because later on in Corinthians, he says, "I speak in tongues more than you all." He said, "I wish you would all speak in tongues." And we'll talk about that just a little bit later. So apparently sometime, maybe it was at that moment that Paul spoke in tongues. I can't say it was, but sometime he spoke in tongues, or he received tongues. Then the other time is with the Samaritans in Acts chapter 9. No, it's Acts chapter 8 is Paul. Acts chapter 9 is the Samaritans. Am I right? No, 8 is Samaritans. Acts chapter 9 is Paul. I'll get it straight here. Am I right?
Yes.
Yeah, I got other preachers here and Randy, and you keep me straight.
Don't you mess up.
Okay, right. Now, where was I? So the Samaritans, it doesn't say there that they spoke with tongues. But it does say that Philip went there and preached the gospel, and there was great joy in the city. There was healings and different kinds of things that were happening. But then later on, the apostles in Jerusalem hear that they received the word of God. So they sent Peter and John. They sent them, and they said, "Did you receive Holy Spirit?" They said, "What's Holy Spirit?" But it says they prayed for them, and they received Holy Spirit. It doesn't say they spoke with tongues. But there again, something happened because the sorcerer saw power or something. He wanted to buy it so that he could give it to people as well. My theory is, I cannot prove this from the Bible, my theory is that they spoke with tongues at that time. And that's probably the power that he saw. So then we go on, and a few other places they received Holy Spirit, like Cornelius, they spoke with tongues. That's how they knew that Holy Spirit had come on the Gentiles. Later on in Acts 19, we find in Ephesus, there was 12 leaders there that Paul met with. He said, "Did you receive Holy Spirit?" He says, "What do you mean? We never heard of Holy Spirit." So he taught them about Holy Spirit, laid hands on them, and prayed for them. And it says they spoke with tongues. Now, sometimes I want to talk about that this morning. Sometimes when we talk about tongues, we say, "What do you mean?" Some people call it gibberish because the mind doesn't understand it. Are you here?
Yes.
But I think it's very clear in the Word of God that there are benefits and there's value in us speaking in tongues and praying in tongues.
Amen.
Paul in Corinthians calls it a prayer language. He says we pray in the Spirit and we pray with understanding. He says we sing in spirit and we sing with understanding as well. So really my title this morning is, how do we stay filled with Holy Spirit? How do we stay filled with Holy Spirit? If we say it wanes in our life from time to time, in our experience, or whatever you want to call it, how do we stay filled? I don't always feel filled. Do you? But I still know Holy Spirit is there by faith. It doesn't change. That doesn't change. But I say it this way, I need revival. I need a refreshing in my life every day. Every day. And if I don't find places of refreshing or revival day after day after day, after a while, I'm in the mully grubs. You all remember what I said mully grubs is, right? In other words, you're down in the dumps, you're complaining, and you're just not happy and joyful like we should be. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians and look at a few scriptures about tongues. I think I shared this before, but I'm going to share it again, because maybe there's new people, maybe you haven't heard it before. But one time we were traveling in Italy. This was way back in 1974 when we were on a full gospel businessman airlift with a whole bunch of, we were just very naive about the things of the Spirit. And so these guys would go out, and I didn't even know businessmen could be saved back then. And these were a whole bunch of businessmen, and they were awesome. And it gave us a completely new perspective. So we were out in the streets one day with these guys, and we were just kind of following after them, and Kathy and I, and we were, you know, just watching them. And they went up to this lady and began talking to him. You know, it's not hard to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
If God prompts you, just go and talk to the person. And you can always go talk to the person by asking them a question. That always opens up the door. Now, ask him a nice question. Otherwise, you'll shut the door before it's ever open. But, you just go up to the person and maybe show some interest. Amen?
Yes, right.
You show an interest in their life. I know I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again and again. We need to show an interest in people around us. So they went up to this lady, and I don't know what they asked her. And they said, somehow they asked her, well, did you ever receive Holy Spirit? And she said, no. They said, well, do you want to receive Holy Spirit? She was born again. And she said, yes. Now, she didn't say it in English. She said in Italian language. We were in Italy. And so they proceeded to lay hands on her, and the Holy Ghost came upon her, and she spoke in tongues. And what do you think she spoke? She spoke English. She didn't know a word of English. But we heard her in English praising the Lord. Now, that was a known tongue. And there's other times when I've heard, like Brother Hagin, I've seen him in prayer lines, and he would be speaking in tongues. And every now and then, I'd recognize a German word. That was a known tongue, a known language on the earth that he didn't know. So maybe when you speak in tongues, it may be a known language, it may be, maybe not. Because I also believe the Bible teaches that there is a prayer language.
Yes.
It's a heavenly language. And that's tongues as well that we don't understand. And if we want to understand it, it needs to be interpreted by the Spirit of God.